A lot to cover today, talking about restoration, and not quite sure where you're at in your walk with the Lord and all this kind of thing. Didn't want to celebrate one thing as we celebrate the sanctity of human life today. We got our partner Thrive, and they have been working tirelessly at driving back abortion, and I can gladly say that Missouri is the first free abortion state in the union. So praise God for that. Grab a baby bottle, fill it up with some change, and bring it back, and that's a matching gift. And they do awesome work. And and wherever you're at on that issue, if that's something that has reached your doorstep, God's in the restoration business, and He can do mighty things in your life. So trust God today, and for you that are wanting to join our church, we're going to have our membership class coming up this February on the 7th. And real quick, we got a stat up there. So just to kind of put in perspective what's going on with how bad the abortion situation is in America, from February to November, abortions claimed the lives of 681,000 babies compared to 260,000 on COVID and 555,000 in heart disease. And then you got cancer, it's 492, stroke, 128, and then respiratory disease, 122, and Alzheimer's, 108, and diabetes, 80,000. So that's something that God wants us to be praying about. We want you guys to be involved of not just life, but also liberty and the pursuit of happiness here in America. Amen. Turn with me into Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And this is about restoring. And I'll ask and also, if you would, if you're a visitor, please fill out our card. That's in the one of the seats there, and when you fill it out, you drop that in an offering basket. Our staff now, we're going to bring it by your house and drop a gift on your front door. So the staff is really driving hard to bring a lot of friends here to have Bible Will Travel. As we talk about restoration, I would like you to stand with me today, physically, if you would all stand up. Before we get into our tithing message, I want to bring something to the home front here. If you guys don't know, my friend, Brett Hedda, is in the hospital right now. And he is, he runs our security team here at Have Bible Will Travel. Last night when we were praying for him, we were talking afterwards, and I told my wife, you know, I love Brett so much. He suffered a stroke and then has had brain surgery, and we're waiting for some words today. So be in prayer for Brett and be in prayer for Mickey. And I said, man, I've known this guy over 30 years, Scott. And my wife said, you've known him for over 40. So me and Brett go back a long ways, as a lot of you guys that are in here. Let me tell you a few things about Brett, and I want to encourage you guys to continue to pray for him. He's obviously a fighter, if you don't know that. He truly is a tough guy, but he's a tough guy for the Lord. So, you know, in these kind of situations, we just lift him up to the Lord and don't understand them all. And it seems weird almost, Robbie, that he's not here with us today. But if somehow Brett's listening to us, I want him to know. Yeah, so, you know, I want to tell you some other stories about him and believe that God's working there. Brett really has a passion to follow the Lord. When he got out, he moved in with me and my wife and just really, really wanted to seek on how to get closer to the Lord. And he's been doing that for some time now. And I'm going to pray and believe that God wants him to be here so he can continue to do that some more. So that's what we're praying about today, and then I'll ask you to sit back down. But I thank you for joining me in that. Brett has been a true friend for a long time, and is a true friend, and I love him. And I talk to him a lot. I talked to Brett the day before he had a stroke. We always talk about the things of what God has delivered us from, me and Brett. And Brett has been redeemed by Jesus, and as I have and many of you have. Let's pray. Father God, we want to pray for a healing for my friend and one of your warriors, Brett. And Lord, you know what we need. We need a miracle. We're asking for one. We're dialing up the throne room today and praying and believing and standing with Mickey and the rest of the prayer warriors for a miracle in Brett's life today. That you shrink the swelling. That you touch his life. And if his family's watching today, we want you kids to know that your daddy loves you and your church loves you. And we're praying for your dad to be healed. In thy name of Jesus, amen. All right, you may be seated. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. So let me read to you. It's going to be all about restoration. So in Galatians 6:1, I like this chapter because if you would fast forward to like 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in the right time, Paul, we're going to reap a harvest if we do not give up." You can't, regardless of what the news is, not just for Brett's situation, but for all your situations, your marital issues, your financial issues, your whatever that is, plug that in. You can't give up. Giving up is not an option if you're on fire for the Lord. So that's really how this ends. But let me tell you how this thought starts. Brothers, in 6:1, if anyone is caught in a spiritual transgression, or in a transgression rather, which is a violation of God's law, you who are spiritual should restore, say this with me, you should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Stop. It ain't the job of the church to beat people up when they're down. It's not to champion them on when they're not doing well. It's to lift them up, restore them gently, make sure you're telling the truth to them, though, for crying out loud, because you love them and you want them to be better than they are. I mean, let's be honest, that's why we came to church today. We want to be a little better. I mean, we're good, don't get me wrong. But we're going to be better when we leave. God's people said amen. And for a minute there, I just, these guys aren't getting this, but hang in there. Keep watch on yourself, lest till you be tempted. I remember used to tell Brett that when he got out. He was intense. Relax. I said, relax just a little bit. I remember when me and my pastor went and seen him. He was in a timeout. Scott and I, and right before we're praying for him and everything, we were talking to him on the phone, and he's like, "Oh man, he's getting short on his time." He was right there at the end, amen. Right there, we were almost out, and he's going, "Oh man, if one of those kids jump, oh my God!" I said, "Brett, just settle down. You only got a couple days left. Sometimes you have to tell your friends that you really love. Just settle down, man. We're trying to restore the people of God. It's not time to say I told you so or anything like that. It's to show them love and go, you know what? God's going to be with you through this. He's going to be with all you guys today too, and all your things. And we're gonna get restored gently, but truthfully through the Word of God. Let us pray. Father God, for all of them, and my buddy Brett included, we need you today, not tomorrow, today. We need you. We're dialing up the throne room, God, for a miracle in our own life. We want to be restored in our physical bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. We want to be restored in the area of finances and health. We want to be restored with our children. We want to be restored with our grandchildren. We want to be restored here and now. And we're asking you to do that today, Father God. And we're asking a blessing over the offering today as well. And we're praying this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's applaud the Lord because he's in the miracle business. All right, I hope you're clapping after you hear this one. This one is a doozy. Psalm 51. Oh, yeah, you know the story. So let me break this down. I love this story so much, and I've been talking about it. I was preaching on it. It was on the Overcomer Hour. If you guys were on Overcomer Hour, you heard it. This is the full deal on here, Pastor Bevo. Let me tell you a little bit. Well, I'll tell you after we crack it open, and I'll tell you what David's deal is. But I want you to know David's got a deal just like you guys do. Basically what it is, I'll give it away ahead of time, Terry. It's sin. There's a sin issue in the camp that hasn't got dealt with yet. Amen. And maybe you're there, maybe you're not. Maybe you're super holy and this isn't an issue for you. But for us that are not quite as holy as some of y'all are, this is designed to help us. So bless this, Father God, in thy name of Jesus. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. So mercy is not getting something you really deserve. Sometimes our parents can have mercy on us. What we actually deserve is to be stood in the corner. But sometimes we don't get stood in the corner because your mom or your dad has mercy on you at that time. I remember my dad used to, that was like kiddie jail. Maybe I've told you this before, and maybe I'm just doing this for therapy, but I was like, oh, Dad, don't stand me in the corner. Have mercy on me. And sometimes he would have mercy on me. But what I deserved was to be punished and stand in the corner because that's where kids stood at my house when you didn't mind what my dad said. Amen. We're going to be talking about your little sweeties too. And I know your kids never do anything wrong. Isn't that amazing? They never do anything wrong until they get to like Denny's or whatever. Or Chick-fil-A, and you're like, whose kid is that? They go to Have Bible, We'll Travel. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. What does he say, class? Blot out my transgression. Blot it out. That means I want it removed out of my life, blotted out. And we're speaking here, Gary, in the Old Testament. So know this here. He's speaking in the Old Testament. So we know that back in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices of blood, bulls and turtle doves and all this. And this was designed, this blood was designed to cover your sin until Jesus was slain for the sin to actually not be covered anymore, but to be removed out of your life. Amen. He said, I got a sin issue, and King David's issue was as he seen Bathsheba, and she was bathing on the roof, and he said, hey, man, I like that girl. I want her. A lot of times we think that we need what we want because it would be good for us, and then once we get it, we're like, man, I messed that up. Good, we got an honest person in the church today. Don't even raise your hand. But he's seen Bathsheba, and then his story goes, and they got this thing going on, and they end up having a baby. Before this, she's got a husband, Uriah. That's an issue, and he's trying to get Uriah to come back. He was at war, and come back with your wife, sleep with your wife, and then we can pretend like it's your baby and not my baby. It's a pretend thing. Pretend. That's what we do when we get in a situation. We pretend and like it'll go away and sin's really not prevalent in my life. We pretend and we play with it and it's not all this. And then he doesn't want to. He tells King David, I wouldn't want to defy you. I'll sleep outside. But I'm not going in and I'm not going to be with my wife during the time of war. Well, they put him in war. They put him in the front lines and he gets rubbed out. Gets killed. That's kind of what we do now in sin. What we want to do is we know about it, but we're hoping it'll go away. And if it doesn't go away, then we want to rub out whatever it is. This has become an issue in King David's life. And what I would say is it's probably hindered his ministry. It may have hindered his finances. It hindered his children and hindered this. And he said, man, this thing is before me. It's starting to grow. And this transgression is a problem. I need to be restored. I need to be brought back. I need to be returned. I need to go back to the former condition that I was in. So God's always trying to restore his people back to their original condition in the Garden of Eden, where we had communion with God day in and day out. And sin wasn't there until mankind screwed it up and disobeyed God, and they wanted what they wanted until they got it, and then they didn't want it anymore. Just say hello if you understand. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Iniquity is gross immoral behavior. If you're keeping notes, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight so that you may be justified in your words. So if God is a just God, we want God to bless everybody. Woo, bless me. Woo, bless me, God. See all the good things I'm doing, but turn a blind eye to all the bad I do. Somebody should say, oh, me there. So if he's a righteous judge, he has to judge the good and the bad. We live in America now where we want God to bless us no matter what we do. Here's the deal. He can't do that until you're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And then when he looks at you and looks at me through the lens of what his son has done, that only makes us righteous before his sight. Against you, verse 4, and only you I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. He goes, I was born in gross immoral behavior. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in the truth. Oh boy, here we go with the truth. Let me tell you something. In 2021, the truth is still the truth no matter who's telling it. Well, we want the truth. But when people start to tell the truth, the people that are telling the truth, the people that are liars and thieves, they start to move away from the guy that's telling the truth. Amen. Sometimes the truth hurts, but we have to tell it if we really love somebody. Amen. That's why I got to tell you the truth. It's because I love you. And I care about your soul. And I need to give you what you need, not what you want. You can find that out in the world. Well, let's see what he says. He says, you delight in the truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be cleaned. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hear me, or let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. So let me tell you about being broken. So we got some pictures of a truck that a friend of ours restored, and I'm not going to go through them today. But what happened, it's Greg Burek, and he's got an old truck that he bought, and he tore it down to bare bones. And I was showing some pictures here at church, and And it was kind of a frame-off restoration. He wanted to bring back the truck into a really great condition. So he took the bed off, took everything out, and got it down to bare bones. Sometimes God needs to do that in your life. He got to break you down. He's got to get your attention. He's got to let you, he allows you to get way out there. Out there in Crazyville. So you can find out how far and broken you truly are. I'm talking about cats that are way out there. He's got to break you down. And then I was talking after we showed some pictures, and then we showed the restored version of the truck. And I said, you know something? A lot of times we as Christians are like a restored truck that doesn't have a motor or a transmission in it. We park it out front, and you come in, you're selling wolf tickets. Oh, did you see the truck out there? Oh, it really looks good. Really looks good. But inside, it's messed up. It ain't got a motor in it. It ain't got a heart for God. It looks like a Christian. It looks like a nice truck, but it has no substance inside. That's why you got to break it down to bare bones. You got to get down to the nitty-gritty and find out what's going on in here. Man, that's painful. These are the things that me and Brett discuss on the phone all the time. He said, can you believe this, Pat? How God has changed our lives? Here's the deal, class. You got to let him change your life. That's a tough lesson. That's what true tough guys do. They allow God in their life. You have to admit you ain't got no control over your life anymore. You have to go up to God and say, my way ain't working anymore. I need you in my life. I need a dose of the ghost, and I need it today. Amen. I want you to listen to this part coming up. In verse 9, it says, hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. And then verse 10, this is probably the most famous verse in this scripture here. Create in me a clean heart. Listen, close your eyes while you hear this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Just keep your eyes closed for just a second and let that marinate for just a second. So what's going on in King David's life? He said, I ain't got no motor in my truck. I appear to be a king. I look like a king, but I really don't have anything. What I need, God, watch me, church. God, I need you to come into my life. I need you to examine what's going on in here. And then I need you to fix it. And let me tell you something. When God fixes you, you'll end up being a giant slayer. Listen to this. I gotta say this. The guys are gonna like this here. Well, you know what a giant slayer is. King David's a giant slayer. And I call this giant that he slayed, I call him a blowhard. He just sits out there just wah, 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 just talking up, just on and on and on. And all King David's brothers are out there, and they're all doing this, selling wolf tickets. Oh, we're going to get him. We're going to get him, Scott. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. And then all of a sudden, here comes little King David. He goes, who's defying the ranks of Israel over here? And they all go, that blowhard over there on the other side. He just keeps going, blah, 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 I'm going to beat somebody here. And King David goes, y'all get out of the way. I'm going to go and I'm going to whoop him like he stole something from me. And then when I get done, I'm going to cut his head off and I'm going to bring it back to the camp. And then I'm going to show everybody that when Jesus is with you, you can whip any giant in your life, and it don't matter what size he is. Let's get down to some action. That's what we need in church, is some guys that got some action in their life. We don't need any more blowhards that tell me what you're going to do. Let's get it done. Mickey, I got to say this before I get off of this. That's what I liked about Brett. That's what I like about Brett. They don't talk about it. Brett won't talk about it. He gets it done. And I mean in every facet of life. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for some cats that are real. He's looking for somebody that's done talking, is going to put their foot in the fire. And don't worry about it. The rest of the church will be there with you. But he's just waiting for some people. He's waiting for some dudes to get it done. Not a bunch of blowhards. Just say amen. Amen means you agree with what I'm saying. Don't confuse it with some other stuff. Amen, Gary. All right, I'll ask you to stand up here because I got just a couple verses left. Yeah. When the story about King David, Pastor Bevo, kind of gets on you, it's like sticky. Verse 11 says, Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, hold on, Pastor Pat. We didn't know that the Holy Spirit was available back in the Old Testament. Here's a news flash. The Holy Spirit was available for those who wanted it and for those who God called. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the deal. If you don't want a dose of the Ghost, that's completely up to you. I'll take your portion. Watch this, class. Supersize me. And I'm going to have Pastor Bevel come up here and strum around a little bit. He said, and what King David is saying, he says, I know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit, and I've drank from the well, and nothing else will quench my spirit. Nothing else will quench my appetite. Please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. It gives me fire. It gives me energy. It gives me anointing. It gives me power. It helps me in relationships. It helps me with my job. It helps me with my family. It helps me with my speech. It helps me get along. It helps me sleep at night. Yeah. Let's bring the house lights down, and now I'm going to get in your mix. Some of you guys, some of you ladies that are here today are having trouble sleeping at night. When you get born again, you'll have sweet sleep if you ask God to come in and cleanse your heart. Some people call it a conscience. As born again believers, we call it a dose of the Ghost. What you need to do is get baptized in God's love today. I'll just be honest with you. Listen to the rest of this. And he says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. With your eyes closed, I want you to answer this right now. Has the enemy stole your joy? Just keep your eyes closed. We're just talking about your joy. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Has the enemy stole your joy? Has he? And all these things have come. Oh, Pastor Pat, here's the deal. You got to see, I got on Facebook. Now look at me for a second so you can watch this. I got to get on. Here's where my joy comes from, Ron. My joy comes from getting on Facebook. I got to get on Facebook. I'm having a Facebook withdrawal. Oh, I got to get on my computer. When I leave church, Pastor, I'm gonna jet out to my parking lot, get on my phone and find out if anybody said something. I never could understand that. You're waiting for the world. Oh, I'm going to get you. You're waiting for the world to tell you how you're going to feel. Crazy world telling you how you feel. I'm telling you how you can feel. From the instruction manual. Now, guys, I know you're like me. A lot of times, Big Steve, we don't want to read the instruction manual. Even when we're putting together ceiling fans, I don't need instruction for ceiling fans. That's why my wife hired Big Steve to do it. No need. I don't need instructions. She said, I'm going to hire it out. Because what I would do, Debbie, I'd have one blade this way. I didn't know they were reversible. And a blade the other way, instead of spinning it this way, it spun the other way. God's the man for the job. Michael, he's speaking to you today. Michael knows what it's like to get it done with the Lord. Talk to him after church. Say, what was it like getting back with God? He'd say, man, I thought he opened up the floodgates. I got everything back. And then some. I got my wife. I got my family. I got my joy. I got my daddy. I got a family again. I got something to live for. I'm back in church. God's back in me. I've been healed. Bob. Amen. What do we pray for you for? Spinal meningitis? Anything, man. Dude, don't come in this church and act like God can't heal your deal. All the time, just one after another. Guys, Diane and praise God, Big Jim's getting healed. Guys are hard-headed. I must say this before I leave, because I got a lot of friends, whether Brett or Big Jim, all of them. Hard-headed. But there's always a soft spot that God can reach. And it's not the head, it's the heart. All right. Love them all. Don't you love these guys? Aren't you glad they're in church today? All the ladies in church, all the mommies and the daddies and the grandmas and the grandpas. That's cool to be healed, isn't it, Barb? A lot of people getting healed today. You got to get before God to get your healing, though. Oh, law, run off someplace in some crazyville. Go, oh, God, I want you to be out here and heal me in this mess. God's going, man, I told you to get on your knees this morning. What's wrong with you, son? I was trying to do that. Every once in a while I tell God I can't get on my knees anymore because of the hardwood floor. You know, I make up excuses. Well, I know you guys don't, but I do. And God said, you know what? He said, I was nailed to the hardwood tree. Oh, look out now. And it wasn't the nails that kept him there, Randy. It was the love for you and your wife. That's how much he loves you. Nails can't keep Jesus on a cross. It's the love he has for his people. Everybody, Robbie. I feel God working in this church today, don't you? It feels like he's almost here with us today. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So right above that, contrite means the feeling of guilt, or you understand that you got some guilt or some things against you. Right above it in verse 16, I'm going to paraphrase this. He's talking about that he doesn't require the sacrifices. He said, I want something that's got some real substance to it today. I want to be able to get in your heart. No more shell game with the offerings and the burnt offerings. And a lot of times we try to trick God. If we do something really bad, then we'll do something really good. And maybe God will just look at the good stuff and he won't look at the bad. And then we balance it out. And if I work hard enough and he likes me, then it doesn't work that way. You can never do enough good things for God to love you any more than he already loves you. Man, that's a good deal. You can't win God's favor by how good you are. Jesus himself said, who's good? Only by my Father. Let's pray today. Pray for somebody that's sitting next to you. You have no idea what's going on in their life. There's some people that got people that are at home that ain't feeling good. There's some people that just walked in here that have been out all night long. That's okay. I don't care how you get in this church. Just get here. Somebody needs to help me out on the preaching today. I don't care how you get in here. Just get here. Let God take care of your issue. Oh, well, we starting out church, everybody's, whoa, he smelled like beer, Pastor. Whoa. He smelled like this, or they're high. I said, good, bring them in. They're drunk, bring them in. She's messed up on heroin. Good, bring her in. She might get saved today. Amen. Is high on crack cocaine? Bring them in. They're caught up in prostitution. Bring them in. Is anybody listening to my message today? No, don't you. Hey, hold on for a second. Don't clap right now. Don't you qualify people to bring them in this building. You bring them however you can bring them. Tell them you'll buy them breakfast afterwards. Or ice cream, that'll get them in for sure. Amen. But you do whatever you got to do to get them in, and do whatever you got to do to see them. Hallelujah. Now, I believe this right now in my spirit, that there's somebody out here ready to give their life to Jesus today. And I can't leave till that's done. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do one more time and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you then. You can't go out like you are. You can't go out like you are. God won't accept you unless you're born again. I'm telling you, as a friend and as a guy and as a pastor and someone who loves you dearly, you can't leave here until you get saved. I can't let you go. Because you'll walk out here and go, I went to that church service and that pastor, Wes, never told me how to get saved. All you got to do right now is just confess your sin to God and then lift your hand and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and be my Savior, right where you're at. Will somebody pray for this person today right now? Just leave your hand up there, sir. I see two, I see three, I see four hands. There might be a revival. I see six, I see seven hands. You know what saved means? Saved means I have been redeemed from the devil's work. I know I'm not going to go to hell anymore because I have trusted Jesus Christ. Say that right now. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm not going to trust in my stuff anymore. I'm not going to trust in my people or my drugs or my thing or my finances. I'm trusting in Jesus. Say that right now. I'm trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus, Robbie. You remember? Do you see what God's doing in the church? God's showing up with an abundant love, and it's a blanket of love. And then say, God, help me live for you. Help me. Help me live for you, God. You say, Pastor Pat, is it a rough road being a Christian? No, it's a rough road going to hell. Being a Christian is the best thing you'll ever do in your life. Amen. Now, here's what I want to do. Those people who said, I want Jesus to be in my life, what I want you to do is just get bold. And if there's a sponsor there with you or somebody that was praying for you, I want you to walk the aisle so we can give the devil a black eye today and just go, you know what, man? Here's the deal. I remember getting black eyes, and I know the devil hates it even more than I do. Basically, what that means is you probably got whooped, and that's what we're doing to the devil today. We're going to whoop him. So with the eyes closed and the hands back up, the you that gave your life to Jesus, oh, you're bold. Church, we got some bold new believers here today. We're not going to embarrass you. All we want to do is walk an aisle and just rub the nose of the enemy in it. And then in 1, 2, 3, come out from the aisles and then come down here. Come on out. Come on out. Come on. I see you, sir. I see you right there. Come on, guys. Come on, Christian. Come on, brothers and sisters. Come on. Right there. Right there. What a revival. What a revival. Let's turn Bevo up just a little bit. Let's turn up Bevo just a little bit. I'm going to tell you something, everybody that's receiving Jesus and your sponsors and these wonderful people. Ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better in the whole wide world than being born again. Ain't nothing better. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, I got to be totally honest with you. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Every day that I live is a revival. I just cannot believe what God is doing in this church today. We want to make sure before you guys leave here today that we get you a Bible and we stay plugged in with you and all that kind of stuff. We'll get Mark and some of the deacons to talk to some of you guys. And I'm going to tell you the first thing that the devil's going to try to do if you just gave your life to Jesus. When you walk out, he's going to say, oh, you ain't really saved. He's going to say, he says that all the time. He's a liar and that's all he can do is lie.
He's a liar.
Here's the deal. When you give your life to Jesus, nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And Jesus and the Father are one, and no one can snatch him out of the Father's hand. I'm going to pray for you. And then for the saints, I'm going to do the same thing for you. And maybe you're in a King David position. You're saying, hey, man, God, I need you to look inside my heart because there's some messed up stuff going on in there. You can get, watch this class, Mike, senior, you can get bitter towards people. What do you got against people, man? What's your deal with people? Why do you hate people? That's the way I was before I got born again. I hated everything. It's because, watch this, actually, I hated myself. I was miserable. I want to talk to anybody today that's miserable and is honest. Break it down. Pastor, I'm ate up in my sin. Oh, we're going to come down where you live here until I hit it. Oh, you tried all the things, oh, the guys and the girls and the trucks and all the things and the girls and the dressing up and all that stuff. Man, that's all phony stuff, man. It's a bunch of doo-doo. You say, well, what is real? I'll tell you what's real. Jesus is real. Amen. He grabs you by the lapels. He'll shake you and he'll rock your world. And you say, does it ever end? It never ends. Never ends. This is one of the happiest moments I can remember as being a pastor at this church, is when I see these people walk the aisle and get honest with God. So let's pray. And then I'm going to make sure we get some deacons and some pastors up here to just talk and pray and celebrate with these people up here, man. Don't leave. Father God, today is the day for salvation. You tell us that in 2 Corinthians 6, 2. You said today, church, is the day for salvation. So let me drop that in your spirit right now. Let's do away with evil and hatred. Let's leave here under the end. Let's get intoxicated. Let's get drunk on the Holy Ghost today. Raise your hand to the sky and say, God, give me a six-pack of that thing. Give me a six-pack of that thing. Yes. Woo, hold on for a second. That's a good day today. And I just say this to him, say, nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what brought you to church. Nothing else would do. You all tried it already. Every one of you. Curtis, he wants you today. He loves you today. He's glad you're here today. He ain't going to let you go after this one. You'll never be the same when you walk out of the doors of this church today. The sun is shining. It's a good day. I bet you thought today was going to be like another church. Said, well, we're going to go in and he's going to say a few words. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go get twisted up. I'll tell you that. Twisted up. Yeah, yeah. We used to be really passionate about being twisted up. Sideways is what we're going to get. And what we used to do is go get the beer on Saturday nights. They had something to drink on Sunday back then. Then if you drank it on Saturday night, you go to a pizza parlor and get 3-2. But it never worked, did it? God works. And he's open 24/7. The cooler is stocked with the power of the Holy Ghost. Woohoo! And the devil can't have you. It just got serious in here. Let me pray for you. I got another service to be preaching at. But I can't leave till I get done preaching here. Will you call up there and tell him I'm going to be a minute? He go, where does he go when he slips out the back? I'm going to do this again, Terry. That's a great job. I got a great boss. I don't know if I told you about that. And the retirement benefits are fantastic. All right, let's pray. I'm going to pray for the souls that are here today. Those who are joining, those who got born again, the saints who just can't get enough. God, is a revival in this church. Bible toting, tongue wagging, devil chasing, brothers and sisters in Jesus. And they ain't ashamed of it either. Do your handiwork here today, Father God, and watch over us. In thy name of Jesus, his people said amen.